Welcome to the Tell Us Something podcast. I'm Mark Moss, your host. Tell Us Something awakens imagination, empowers storytellers, and connects the Missoula community through the transformative power of personal storytelling. It is a celebration of each other, our stories, and how we move through the world together. All of the stories at Tell Us Something are true. Stories last for 10 minutes and are told from memory. Everyone is welcome to tell a story. There is a theme for each event. The Missoula community comes together for a night of true stories, shared live, focused on a theme. Tell Us Something is a quarterly event. Everyone has a story. What's yours? This quarter's Tell Us Something was recorded on February 17th, 2015 at the Top Hat Lounge in Missoula, Montana. 10 storytellers shared their story based upon the theme, adventure. This week's story comes to us from Carla Thielen and is titled Guardian Angel Obstacle Course. Thank you for listening.
Is it too late for me to change my mind about this? I mean, at least there's not a guy over here with like a gong or something, but... Oh, they're made. Wow, that was magical. Magic. I wish I could say I'm happy to see everybody out here tonight, but I really can't hardly see anything, which is maybe a blessing. But so my adventure started way back in the old days before I made the sort of misinformed and dubious decision to become a full-time adult. And I used to spend winters down in Baja, cheap, easy, fun. And one winter, I packed up my 1992 Toyota All-Track station wagon with all my shit and two dogs, one of which was mine, my dog Bandit. And then the other dog was belonged to a kind of a jackass boyfriend, but that's a whole other adventure. But I had these two dogs, and I drove down the Baja all the way down to this beach way at the southern tip, Los Cerritos. Spent the winter down there. And, you know, it did the Baja thing. You learn how to surf. You do a lot of eating and drinking. And, you know, you can lay around on the beach and pretend that you're writing a novel, which I did extremely well. And it was fun. And I was there for months. And at one point, I had this dream. And I was dreaming that there was this sort of disembodied female voice. And she kept saying, March 4th, March 4th, March 4th. And I woke up in the morning and I was like, oh my God, I looked at the calendar. It's like, okay, it's almost the end of February. I got to get the hell out of here. For some reason, I thought March 4th was like this sort of a warning. And so I got it in my mind, you know, how I was going to extract myself from the beach and started the process of loading up the car. And around the same time, I overheard a conversation between this man and a woman. The woman sounded like she was from Germany, and she was telling this guy that she needed a ride to La Paz to the bus station because she said she needed to be in San Diego by March 4th. And I was like, you know, like ching, ding, 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 like the bionic ear. And I said, wait a second. I said, I can help you out here. I can actually take you all the way to San Diego and, you know, not just La Paz. And I thought she would just jump at the chance. You know, any of the other beach hippies would have just been like, yeah, man, they would have gotten the car and, you know, put their feet up on the dashboard, start rolling a joint or something. But this woman, Katya, she was from Germany, and she took a different approach. She kind of interviewed me. She wanted to see my driver's license, which was probably prudent. And she looked at the car. She asked some questions about the car, and then she kicked the tires, which... I mean, I still don't even know what that tells a person, but she did it. And apparently I passed the test, and she decided she would ride with me. She had one reservation, though, actually two reservations, and that was the dogs. She wasn't too sure she wanted to travel with these animals. She felt they would be disruptive. She wondered if they would be too smelly. And the best part... Now, I wish I could do a good German accent, but if I tried it, it would ruin the story. So you all have to imagine this. But the thing she was most concerned about was that she would feel them breathing on her, which I thought was hilarious. But I assured her that she wouldn't have to feel the dogs breathing on her. And at this point, I was sort of desperate. Like, I wanted a companion for the trip. So she agreed. And the first day went really well. The drive was... without any consequence. And Katya was very quiet. We had a lot of pretty comfortable silence, and I appreciated that. I guess I could sum up the most I could sum up the difference between our personalities best with two things. And one would be our reading material. And the second would be our luggage that we carried. The reading material Katya chose, she had this completely unblemished copy, like not even a dog-eared page, of The Tin Drum by Günter Grass, which I know I should have read at some point in my life, but I haven't. And she had been traveling for 4 months. And this, like I said, this book was like, looked like she just bought it. And I had People in Espanol, which I felt was more of an educational tool than entertainment. And it was a perfect, you know, adjunct to my 4 years of distant high school Spanish. And as far as what she carried, she had this little backpack. It was like the size of my purse. And everything she had was like folded up into perfect squares and like in Ziploc bags and like perfectly organized. And I had this Toyota Corolla All-Track and then this Yakima Rocket Box on top that was like stuffed to max capacity, you know, like. And but that was the difference between us. And the second day of the trip started out pretty well, but it took kind of an ominous turn where, I don't know if anybody's driven the Baja, the Highway 1, and there's these places where, you know, you're just driving up and down these steep-ass hills. And we got to the top of this hill, and of course, Katya's reading The Tin Drum. And I get to the top, and I look down, and there's this, at the bottom of the hill, there's like a semi-truck trailer, and it's like on fire. I mean, flames. And there's no cab to the truck, and there's no people around anywhere, and there's just cars kind of driving around it. So I thought, okay, you know, she's totally unflappable. She just looked up and she said to me in the German accent that you're supposed to imagine, she says, oh, I've seen that once in Turkey. So we drive around and we keep going. And I, all of a sudden I looked at the gas gauge and I thought, holy shit, you know, it was like ticking down and we were close to empty. And I should have filled gas earlier that day when we passed the Pemex station, but I had this ace in the hole. I knew there was this place, Via Jesus Maria, and it's in the middle, you know, of nowhere. And they have, I know, it's a great name, isn't it? And there's a Pemex station there, and there's also a taco bus, so we could eat and get gas. And we pull into Jesus Maria on fumes, of course, and there's no gas. No gasoline at the gas station. That happens in Baja. Sometimes they're just like out of gas. And so across the street, though, there's these little boys, little mini extortionist boys with their gas cans and their sign, you know, gasolina is like, it's only like 5,000 pesos a liter. You know, it was just like, oh my God, it made me sick to my stomach. So we went and ate. And the wind was blowing like hell. I mean, it was like sandblasting our faces. And the taco bus woman said, well, why don't you come in and eat inside? Oh, sure, sure, sure. And here I am, you know, with my fast-talking, you know, Spanish, you know, that I learned mostly watching telenovelas on Univision. And I'm in there, blah, 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 blah. And Katya is just eating quietly. And we finally, you know, go back to the car, drive across the street and spend like, you know, $2,000 on 10 gallons of gas. And I wanted to kill those boys, and they're laughing and talking, and I decided to laugh and talk, and it's like, Spanish, 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 gringa, blah, 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 shit, whatever, and we take off. And I'm driving down the road, and I hear this click, 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 and I thought, oh, it's like a nail or something in my tire, and I heard it again. I'm like, no, it's coming from the roof. So we pull over, and I see that the Yakima box is kind of open. I'm like, oh, shit. And so my first thought when I saw it, I was like, I was proud of myself. I was like, wow, I'm more organized than I thought I was because it's so clean. And then I was like, oh, it's actually empty, like totally empty. So all of my shit was stolen. Katya, of course, behind the novel, her little backpack is still in the car. And this was a real moment of reckoning for me. I considered for just a minute not even telling her about it, but I didn't think this was possible. So I told her, and again, I got the same response as like the semi in flames, you know, oh, this happened in Turkey or wherever the hell it happened. But we kept driving, and we stopped in this place, Katavina, in the middle of the desert. We were going to camp that night, and we had a tent, her tent, and a sleeping bag, her sleeping bag. And of course, I was sort of relegated to the dirty, filthy dog blanket. And in the tent that night, and I have to say, the dogs were cuddling up with her, and she liked it. And I know they were breathing on her, too. And and so we, that night, though, it was interesting because in the darkness, I just felt like it was okay to kind of tell her, you know, where I was, going and what was happening in my life. And, you know, I kind of described this mess I had back at home. It was kind of like one of these emotional, hot, steaming piles of mess that you know, it's kind of like when you have a party at your house and there's a ton of dirty dishes that are like going out the front door, but you go to bed anyway and you think in the morning everything's going to be cool and you wake up and it's worse because you have a hangover. And so I kind of told her a little bit about my life. And then she told me a little bit about her life. And it turns out she was going through a divorce and her mom was dying of cancer. And all of a sudden, it was like this woman that I thought was like totally unflappable and totally perfect was sharing stuff with me in the darkness. And we went to sleep. And the next morning, we drove to the border. We were sitting at the border and there was a long, long line, of course, of unmoving traffic. And there was a man who was kind of running up and down selling stuff to people, and I saw him come closer to our car, and he had this statue, and he was holding it above his head, and it was the Virgin of Guadalupe, and she had these golden rays of light coming off of her. And Katya unrolled the window, and she you know, offered the guy some money, and they had an exchange, and she brought the statue in the car, and my first thought was, oh my God, this thing is like full of cocaine, and now we're going to prison forever. And but it wasn't. And she handed it to me and she said, this is for you. And I said, oh, thank you. And she said, because I think you're moving too fast and your guardian angel is having a hard time keeping up with you. And so I sat there and I thought about it for a second. And that voice came back to me from my dream, the March 4th, March 4th, March 4th. And I thought, we made it. It's March 4th. We're crossing the border. But all of a sudden, the words kind of took on a different meaning to me. And all of a sudden, I heard it more as March 4th, like march forward, move forward. And at that moment, the cars in the line, they all just started moving forward. And then we lived. Thanks.
Tell Us Something is proud to be fiscally sponsored by Missoula Community Foundation, a 501c3 organization. Missoula Community Foundation has been providing leadership to Missoula nonprofits and inspiring long-term philanthropy in Missoula since 2007. For the good of Missoula, forever. MissoulaCommunityFoundation.org. Thank you for your support of live storytelling and local art. The bookstore at the University of Montana, a local bookstore serving the students, faculty, and staff of the University of Montana, as well as the Missoula community. MontanaBookstore.com. Fact and Fiction, where books, authors, ideas, and readers interact. FactandFictionBooks.com. Top Hat Lounge, bringing great music to Missoula for over 60 years. The Top Hat now serves food and offers, in addition to great music, comedy shows, film, performance art, and storytelling. TopHatLounge.com. Haley Faust. Haley is a graphic and media designer based in the heart of the Rocky Mountains. From concept to final design launch, Haley puts her heart and soul into your design project. HaleyFaust.com. Zoo City Apparel. Custom screen printing and more. ZooCityApparel.BigCartel.com. Thanks to Cash for Junkers, who provided the music for the podcast. Find them at CashForJunkersMusic.com. Rock and Rudy's, your source for the best music, gifts, and more. Great music, great people, rockandrudy's.com. Podcast production by Nathan Zavolny of Missoula Soundworks, missoulasoundworks.com. And thank you to everyone who attends the events, those of you who download the podcast, and to the storytellers, Jim Beyer, Aaron O'Brien, Pat Abbey, David Michael Sojourn Dupuy, Carla Thielen, Kevin Bassett, Katie Asaro, Michael English, Carly Fetzer, and Ed Stalling. Find us on Facebook and Twitter. Check the website to find out how you can tell your own story and to learn about the 2015 Tell Us Something dates and themes. TellUsSomething.org. Have a great one.